So I want to tell you about the day that changed everything. You need to know about this. Your friends need to know about this. So share this with them. You can do that right now, no matter where you're watching from. We have people from all over the country checking out Verve. Share this video with your friends. Because of the day that changed everything. Now, some of you are younger than me. You're not old enough to remember this day. I'm not even quite old enough to remember it. But you may not have even been alive. And so you've just lived in this new reality thinking that it was always like this, but it wasn't. Everything changed on the day that changed everything. And the day that changed everything was all about Burger King. That's right, Burger King. Hey, real quick, I know they're all bad for you, but put in the comments, if you're feeling like desperate for a fast food burger, are you getting Burger King, McDonald's, or Wendy's? Tell us hi in the comments, tell us your name, Burger King, McDonald's, or Wendy's. I'm going Wendy's. Tell us what you think. So, before the day that changed everything, McDonald's kind of ran everything. You'd go to McDonald's and you could get a hamburger or a cheeseburger. We've also got a fine variety of drinks. But for food, a hamburger or a cheeseburger, and you'll like it. It's a burger with some onions, some pickles, some ketchup, and a bun, and you'll like it. Then, in 1968, McDonald's, big day, came up with a different option, a hamburger, but a bigger hamburger, the Big Mac. The Big Mac had two off-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. You might ask, how do you know the ingredients from a Big Mac? Because McDonald's was so committed to those exact ingredients for every Big Mac that they made everyone memorize the ingredients so you would know what you were going to get and that you had no choice. You don't believe me? Well, here is one example of that.
All beef patties, pickles, sauce, lettuce, cheese, and pickles.
Cheese,
lettuce and onion, sesame, all seed bun.
I think they're describing a bit.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Say that again.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Say that again.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Say that again.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions, pickles, onions on a little...
McDonald's Big Mac, the big sandwich with the great big taste that everybody's talking about.
Sesame seed bun, and we forgot the onions.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did say onions.
Are you sure?
Then it said onions.
All right.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Say that again.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Say that again.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
McDonald's Big Mac, the great big sandwich with a great big taste.
Lettuce.
Pickles.
Cheese.
Hey, that's a
Big Mac.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
If you order a Big Mac, you'll get two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Well, do you think I could get it with two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? Well, but sir, I hate the special sauce. Could I maybe get two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? I'm actually deathly allergic to two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. There was no choice. None. You know the saying, customer's king, customer's always right? Not back then, not with McDonald's, and not with anyone else. And then came the day that changed everything. The year was 1974. Burger King had this thought. I wonder if more people would come if we let them have whatever they want. Wait, that's so crazy, it might work. Give them whatever they want, more people show up. It was like a thunderbolt. And then someone in this meeting said, yes, by George, let's do it. We'll tell them that you can have it your way. And everyone in the meeting started cheering. And then someone said, let's make a commercial. And if there's one thing we've learned from McDonald's, it's that people want to be able to sing their orders. Someone write a song and put it in a commercial. In fact, have one of our employees sing that song in that commercial. You don't believe me? Here is that commercial from 1974.
Two Whopper Juniors and four Coca-Cola. And would I have to wait long if you made one Whopper with no pickle and no lettuce?
No, sir. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way.
Oh, well, in that case, could I have the other Whopper with extra ketchup?
Sure. We can serve your broiled beef Whopper fresh with everything on topper. Any way you think is proper, have it your way.
Now that's the way to do things, our way.
Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King. We at Burger King.
Now that's the way to do things, our way. That's what the dudes, now that's the way to do things, our way. Well, soon, everyone wanted it their way. And everyone was willing to give it to you your way. We became a consumer-minded society. It was the day that changed everything, including church. Well, churches made the change a little bit later, but they figured it out too. It's like, wait a second. If we don't ask anything of them, and if we give them what they want, well, more people will come. And so you end up with, well, with something like this.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come here.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
And so, over the years, it's become really easy for people to show up at church with a consumer mentality. It's like, I go church shopping. I'm trying to find the church that will best meet my needs. And if I don't find that perfect church, I'll go church hopping, bouncing from church to church to get what I can for me. It's like, I expect the church to do the kind of music that I like. Which is funny because it's worship music. It's supposed to be for God, not me. I'm supposed to worry about if God likes the music, not me. And I expect the church to have messages that feed me. Well, I expect the church to take care of my kids and give them a great spiritual foundation so I don't have to really do it. I expect the church to provide programs and groups and events that meet my needs. And what should the church expect from me? Well, I'll show up. If you do all that, if you meet all my expectations, I'll show up. And if you keep meeting my expectations, maybe I'll keep showing up. If you don't, I'll probably find some other church that can, or I might just stay home and watch football. We'll see. Which is a totally fine attitude. when it comes to malls, grocery stores, restaurants. But listen, the church is not a dispenser of religious goods and services. It's not a spiritual mall. Listen to this. You ready? The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. I want you to remember that. In fact, why don't you type it in the comments, just so you said it, right? The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Therefore, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. One more time, type it in, that the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Therefore, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. Jesus gave his church a mission, which is to go, to go share God's love with the world, to let everyone know about Jesus. Listen to what he said in the Bible in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. In the Bible, the church is called the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The idea is that the church represents Jesus to the world. We manifest Jesus to the world. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We serve the world in Jesus' name. Jesus told his church to serve their city, especially the underserved, the most vulnerable. He said in Matthew 25, he said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And we're also told to serve each other. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. What we're never told is to serve ourselves. We are never told that the church exists for us because the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Therefore, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. So in this series, which ends today, next week, new series, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be talking about popular movies and what we can learn about God from them. It's going to be awesome. But in this series, I'm asking you each week to kind of evaluate and rate yourself in what we're talking about. Like just between you and God, no one else needs to know, just to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. How are you doing with this? And so one would be the lowest. In this case, it would be a spiritual consumer. On the low end would be someone who expects to get things out of the church. Like, I want to like the songs. I want the sermon to feed me. I want you to take care of my kids. But this person doesn't really give much back, if anything. Like, I want you to serve me, but I don't expect that I'm going to serve. A 10 would be the highest, and it would be like a true spiritual contributor. Like, I think of people at Verve, like, we have people who lead a Verve group and serve in Verve Kids or student ministry or play in the band. There are Verve group leaders who, it's not just like the hour of that group, but they're praying for the people in their group. They're checking in on their people. We have student ministry leaders who it's not just the hour and a half, you know, when we meet on Sundays with the teenagers, but no, they're getting together with their students in their particular group during the week. Like my son, check this, was taught how to tie a tie, how to create and live off of a budget, how to think about dating, all by a volunteer in our student ministry who takes him out to lunch. People on this high end of the spectrum, the 8, 9, 10 kind of people, man, they know that God set the tithe. They give financially, and they know that God set the tithe, which means giving back to God 10% of what you bring in, as kind of the base standard for giving. So they give 10%, or hopefully they want to give more. Usually they give more, and their goal is to increase their giving over time. They also pray for the church. They go on a mission trip if they're able. They serve. They build relationships with people who don't know Jesus. They invest in those people, and then they invite those people to come to Verve, and they just pray that, man, I just want them to meet Jesus here. If you follow like this 8, 9, 10 kind of person out to their car, you'll see they have that Verve V on there. So where would you say you are on this? Like, what number would you give yourself? So here's the great news. Whatever that number is, that's yesterday. Today is a new day, and so you can start living in a new way, in the way God wants you to live as part of His church, because the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Therefore, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. So there are some ways that God means for everyone in the church to contribute. Like, we can all do this. We all should do this. Like hospitality, meaning it could mean instead of showing up at the last minute and getting out quick to avoid the parking lot afterwards, that's what consumers do. A contributor would show up a little early and just kind of look around the lobby for people who they don't know, haven't met yet, and just try to make them feel welcome. That's what contributors do. And by the way, you can do that online. So we just have had some people who have been so great about welcoming new people. Like when somebody types in and it's kind of obvious they're new, or they say they're new, we have people who, it's not like their job. They just say, hey, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm Lauren, whatever. Hospitality is one way everyone can contribute. Also, I mentioned giving. Like, it costs money to be the church. Honestly, it costs a lot of money. And God's idea is that if everyone in the church gives, like generously and consistently, there will be plenty of money to do the mission. But if some don't give, well, then there's issues. God calls everyone to give a percentage of what they bring in, and giving is a way everyone can contribute. And if you want to do that, and you can do that on our website, you can set up giving. There's a donate page, and you can even set up recurring giving where you decide how much you want to give, how often, and it just becomes this automatic thing. You build that generosity habit. Another way we can all contribute is inviting, building relationships with people who don't know Jesus, investing in those relationships, inviting those people to come. Inviting is a way everyone can contribute. Praying. God tells everyone in the church to pray for their church. So there are some ways we all kind of contribute the same, but there are some ways we all get to make more of kind of our own unique contribution. Earlier, we saw a verse that called the church the body of Christ. Here's another time the church is called that. This one is in Romans chapter 12. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Paul, one of the early Christian leaders, wrote this to the church that was meeting in the city of Rome, and he says, we are the body of Christ. A human body has different parts, and they play different functions, right? Eyes, see, ears, hear, hands, juggle. Each part is uniquely designed to perform a unique function, and in the same way, God uniquely designs each person in His church to perform a unique function. Check out the next verses, very next verses in Romans 12. It says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So it says that God has given out spiritual gifts. What's that? Why is it spiritual? Because it's something that you use for God. Why is it a gift? Because it's something you give to others. It's not given to you for you. It's given for you to give away. We are not consumers, we're contributors. And understanding your spiritual gift is, man, it's part of the key to knowing how you can contribute in God's church for maximum impact. There are some other passages in the Bible that mention other spiritual gifts, but here Paul mentions seven. And you can see, it's not like they're anything weird. They're not weird, right? One was prophesy, which does sound kind of fancy, but prophesy just means to speak for God. It's like you're proclaiming his truth. You're sharing his truth. That's what it means. Then there's serving, which is this person who just wants to help. Like, put me behind the scenes. I'll do whatever it takes. There was the gift of teaching, he mentioned. In the church, you could teach adults. You could teach teenagers. You can teach kids. There's the gift of encouraging, which is just, you know, giving other people support and hope. Giving was one of them. God tells us that we're all to give, but some people are gifted in this, meaning, like, they're not like, you know, what's the minimum standard? They're like, I want to give as much as I can. They're gifted in that way to make money, to give money. Another gift is leadership. That's obvious. And then Paul mentions the gift of showing kindness to others. Again, we're all called to be kind, but for some people, it's like their thing. It's not my thing. It is my wife's thing. It may be your thing. And right now, you might be thinking, I don't know what my thing is. Like, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. This is new to me. One way to help you figure it out is the apple pie test. Y'all like apple pie? Hey, put in the comments, what is your favorite kind of pie? I'm curious. What's your favorite pie? Apple pie, I like it. Not my favorite. I'm going pecan, probably for my favorite. Maybe banana cream pie. Those are probably my favorite. So, apple pie test. Here's the apple pie test. You ready for this? Imagine that we're sitting at a table. There's an apple pie. No one notices, but it's on the edge of the table. It's in a dangerous spot. And then it gets hit, and it falls off the table flat on my lap. What do you do in that moment? If you say, oh no, that's horrible. Here, let me clean it up. I'll take care of it. I got it. And you like just get to work. You probably have the gift of serving. If you would say, oh man, hey, let me go out and run out and buy another apple pie. Actually, I'll buy a couple pies. And then you like run off and you buy some and you bring it. You may have the gift of giving. If you'd say, whoa, okay, listen, don't worry, we can get this organized. Here's what we need to do. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you get the situation fixed. Well, that may mean that you have the gift of leadership or administration. If you'd be like, oh man, like, just don't feel bad. Like, I actually did something just like that the other day. We all do that. It wasn't your fault. You may have the gift of encouragement. Or you might say, oh man, I'm so sorry. That wasn't good. Oh, your pants, I hurt with you. If that's you, you might have what's called the gift of mercy or showing kindness. If when the apple pie falls, you say, you know what? There's a reason that happened and we can prevent it from happening again. I've actually looked into this kind of thing. Let me explain. You may have the gift of teaching. Or you might see the pie fall and be like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You actually deserve that. If so, you may have the gift of prophecy because you're like, you're all truth. You're calling it out like you see it. Me, you might be wondering, what's my gift? I would scoop the pie off my lap and just eat it because I have the spiritual gift of gluttony. That is not in the Bible. I just made up that gift, but I might have it. Now, the apple pie test is probably not the best way to determine your spiritual gift, but you really need to know your spiritual gift because God has uniquely designed you to perform a unique function in his church, and he has given you at least one, probably two or three gifts to use to serve others. So how can you discover your spiritual gifts? Well, one of the best ways here at Verve is Next Step.
You took Next Step like towards the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yeah. Next Step came at a perfect time for me because we were going into the pandemic. It was, you know, our city was locking down. I lost all my jobs. I have multiple jobs. They all went away in the blink of an eye. And I was single. I'm 28. I live alone. All my friends, I'm just at a, I say my age because I think I'm at that weird age where a lot of, almost all of my friends locked up with their significant other, and I felt very lonely. And I just was, that's why I looked to God, because I was like, okay, this isn't the end of the world, but what's going on and why, what do I do?
A lot of people, when they get into Next Step, or a reason to get into Next Step, is just they don't know how things work.
One of the sessions at Next Step was titled Discovering Your Purpose. And we did just that. We took, you know, little tests and had a lot of conversations about what our spiritual gifts are and could grow to be as well. And it really helped because I discovered, you know, I always thought, oh, I'm a good person. But it really helped to kind of hone in on what's my strength and what do I, you know, what can I do really, really well and really want to do and help, and, you know, how can I help, and what, it was just a whole who, what, where, when, why, how situation of my spiritual gifts and what I have to offer.
That's what Next Step is. It's trying to help people get some practical ideas of, well, how does this work? What is this all about?
Man, sign up for Next Step today. You'll be so glad you did. And when you discover your spiritual gifts, it helps you to know where you can serve in God's church. What volunteer role would be a great fit for you? And one of the things we do is we let you experiment. We call it first serves, which means you can try a role out before committing to it long term, because we want to make sure that you find a great fit for you. By the way, if you're like, you're a part of Verve, but you're not in Vegas, you're part of our online church family from all around the country, you can still serve. We have ways that you can volunteer no matter where you're at. So if you're like, you know, if I was in Vegas, nope, you can volunteer too, and we would love to talk to you about that. And if you are a part of the church, you need to find your role. Why? Because you know it now, right? The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Therefore, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. Have you been a spiritual consumer? Or have you been a spiritual contributor? Do you know your spiritual gifts? Have you been volunteering according to it in God's church? Do you give? Do you invite? Do you pray? If you've been more of a consumer, that was yesterday. Today is a new day. You can be a spiritual contributor, and you can begin to make a real impact, maximum impact. I mean, that is what I dream of. Like, don't you? Like, man, I dream of us being a church full of people who love God so much that it's not about us anymore. It's not about getting our way, because we've become obsessed with getting God's way. And that our love for God would lead us to love people. That we would love people so passionately, we pour ourselves out providing for them. But we would never be needy, because God is meeting our needs. We wouldn't be hungry, because God is feeding us. Now, I dream of us being the body of Christ, that our hearts would hurt like his, that we would speak the words he spoke, and that we would have hands that are rough from serving like he served. That like Jesus, we would prioritize serving the least, the lost, the last, and the littlest. That we would serve with no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. That we would have this audacious faith that would cause us to live beautifully, give generously, and love recklessly. Because we know the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. That is my dream. I think that's God's dream.
This is a God dream.
It's everything.
This is everything.